You. So today we're talking from the subject, the God of miracles, the God of miracles. And lady, this lesson is not just about his actions, but it has a lot to do with his character.
Yeah.
It is who he is. Mm-hmm. You know, we know that that he is, you know, that he's got our, you know, that he's our God of peace, and he's our God of joy, and he's our God of strength. But he is also the God of miracles. And it is important to me as believers that we don't move away from that part, understanding that God wants to do some supernatural things in our lives. And so I really wanted to talk about this last week. You know, service went a little bit different of a way, and we talked that we were to be in faith for miracles and a move of God.
Right.
All right. Now I said miracles and a move of God this week, right? So listen, if you haven't seen it yet, what do you do? You keep confessing what you've been confessing.
Right.
So you still say, Father, I thank you for miracles and a move of God this week. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's what we did on Noose Boulevard.
Yeah.
Remember that year when God told me to get up and tell the church we're building and breaking ground this year?
Yeah.
Man, we got to December, and I think the saints got a little worried. Like, Pastor, we ain't got no land.
Right.
You know? And so for New Year's Eve, I remember it vividly when I was praying. The Lord said, no, son, when you get up, you keep saying what you've been saying.
Right.
And you teach the people to keep saying. So I said, the Lord said that we build and breaking ground this year. And that next year, we broke ground and we built.
Right. I think it's important that we realize that we cannot change our confession because something may not have not appeared.
Yeah.
We must always keep the word of God. It always has to be what comes out of your mouth, not what you see. Because if we keep confessing only what we see, that's what we're going to keep seeing.
Right.
But we have to keep our confession in line with what God's word says, and then we're going to see God's word manifest in our lives.
If you keep saying what the word says and keep saying what the word says, then you'll see the word manifest in our lives. And the reason that it's so important that we confess, that we actually open our mouth, because faith comes by hearing. So I need to open my mouth and declare the word and hear that, because when I do that, faith will increase in my heart.
Right.
And so it's important.
Because it's not just about just, you know, in your silently or saying it in your, you know, in your mind, but you have to put some vocal,
you gotta open your mouth
and say some things, because
speak to the mountain.
Yeah. So sometimes it can be uncomfortable in the beginning, but you got to move past that place of uncomfortableness and just start saying, you know what, I'm going to keep saying it with your mouth.
Because when you start confessing something that you don't have, it almost feels funny.
Right, it does.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, it is. You might be believing to be debt free.
Right.
Right. And you know, you ain't got but $5 in the bank.
Right.
So you almost feel like I'm either lying or this is crazy. No. It is part of the process of faith that we call those things that be not as though they were. And so that's why we have to keep saying what the word says.
Exactly. That's good. Hebrews 13:8 is our foundational scripture today, and it's from the NIV version, and it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
So the God who performed miracles in scripture has not changed.
Has not changed.
To who he is, he still was. What he did, he still does.
Right.
If he spoke it, he'll bring it to pass.
Right.
God's word is still good.
Right.
It's not like it was just good for them back then. God's word, you know, it is eternal.
Right.
And so it's good forever.
Right.
And so how many points do you all think Lady and I have for you today? You already know we have three simple points for you today. And so we're going to jump right into it. Everybody say number one.
All right. Point number one is God has always been a God of miracles.
He's always been a God of miracles.
Been.
We can see that, you know, from the very beginning when he said, let there be light, and light showed up. He's always been a God of miracles. He opened the Red Sea. He raised Lazarus from the dead.
Right.
He healed the woman with the issue of blood, blind Bartimaeus, he fed 5,000 people, and most theologians say that was just men. You got it, 5,000 plus women and children.
Right.
And so with two fishes, KJV says fishes, all right, and five loaves of bread.
Yeah.
So he has always performed miracles.
Right.
And if the writer says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, then we've got to believe that he's not the God that used to perform miracles, but he still is the God of miracles.
Right, and I think sometimes because we don't see those big things, we think it's not a miracle. I mean, us sitting here today is really a miracle, because I'm sure we all have our own testimony of how God has done something, and maybe small, but we're still here because of a miracle from God.
But it's really big.
It's really big.
Because we think that it's small.
Right.
And
right.
I think that we sometimes really take for granted things in our lives.
Right.
Like you know, every day we wake up is a miracle.
It's a miracle, yeah.
You know, somebody didn't wake up, but you got a chance to wake up.
Yeah.
I know things might not be exactly how you want them to be, but if you stay in faith, I know you're going to get there.
Yeah.
But just the fact that I'm on this side of the earth.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a miracle. Yeah. You understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
I'm grateful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
So, you know, and miracles don't have to always, sometimes when we think about miracles, we think they have to be spectacular.
Yeah.
You got you know, the Red Sea opened up. That
was
spectacular.
Oh, yeah, right.
You understand? Mm-hmm. And because we wake up every day, to us, that's not spectacular because we have gotten used to it. But the truth be told, it kind of is spectacular when you think the fact, if I don't know how it works, and I don't want to look this up, how many people died on today in the country.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? And I'm still here. It's a blessing.
That's a blessing. Right.
Yeah.
And so there's always a reason to give God thanks.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line. So
yeah.
let's not be so consumed with seeing the parting of the Red Seas or seeing arms growing out. No, God, I'm here and I'm thankful. Amen.
Yeah.
So miracles are not occasional accidents, but they reveal God's nature. So God is not limited by what limits us.
Exactly. And that's where we need to understand the difference.
Yeah.
All right. That in the natural realm, in the earth, we're limited by time and space and things like that. But God is not limited to any
anything.
Of those things.
Yeah.
And we have to understand that miracles happen when man's impossibilities meet God's strength.
Oh, that's good.
Right? Yeah. Now I understand that even though I'm weak, it's okay because he's strong.
Yeah.
You got it. I don't know. It's okay. He has all knowledge.
Right.
So sometimes I think I'm in a position that seems, quote unquote, less than. Mm-hmm. I'm in a good place because as long as Jesus is on the boat, I cannot sink.
Cannot sink.
Yeah.
Right. And I was thinking about the scripture this morning in Jeremiah where God says, "Is anything too hard for me?"
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we think that, you know, because it's hard for us, that we think God can't handle it.
Right.
Or, you know, God, how you gonna get me out of this? But I remind you know, God says, you know what? I'm bigger than anything.
Yes.
Like, I'm greater than anything.
Yes.
So there's nothing that is too hard for our God. And I was thinking about how God's track record is perfect.
Perfect.
He's never lost. He will never lose, no matter how big or how small it may be. God has performed miracles, and he's still performing miracles. So the same miracles that he performed then, again, he can still do it today because it's not too hard for our God.
Yeah, and you know, what's the song? If he did it before,
he'll do it again.
Same God right now, same God back then. You have to have faith in the faithfulness of God.
Right.
That we don't just sing he's a way maker. He is a
way maker. Yeah.
We just don't sing he's a miracle worker. He is a miracle worker. We don't just sing he's a promise keeper. He is. And that's why we just can't get used to just coming in.
Right.
You know, y'all know I'm big on this being here 3 minutes early. And it's not a fussing thing. So don't take that wrong. If you weren't here 3 minutes early, Pastor ain't mad. Right. But the whole 3 minutes early is I'm getting here. I'm ready.
Yeah.
I'm in expectation.
Right.
That worship just church just hasn't gotten just something that I'm just so used to. I get there. But no, man, I'm in expectation because I believe that today God is going to speak to me. Today God is going to bless my heart. Today God's going to heal my broken heart. Today I'm going to be I'm going to be standing during worship, and the miracle I've been waiting for, boom, is going to show up in my life. It's the expectation.
Right.
One thing I love about kids is their expectation.
Yeah.
You got it. We were talking about Hannah yesterday, Lady LaConte and I. You know, of course, she's doing so good. We're so proud of her. You probably saw that I shared, the job that she's at because they put her on their Instagram and that kind of thing. And then we were just talking about our kids and stuff. And both of our kids, but especially Hannah, like if we told them we were going to Disney, we better not change our mind.
Better not.
Because they expect we going to Disney.
Yes.
You got it. If I told Hannah I was coming to see her next Friday, that's not till way next Friday. You got it. Now, Hannah, don't worry. She's not going to ask me every day, are you coming? But the moment I said it, you got it, she might not say anything else, even on Friday. You got it? You know, but she has an expectation that Dad's going to show up. You got it?
Yes.
And we've got to live in daily expectation that God wants to perform miracles in our lives, that we can't just be moving through life just, well, it's Monday.
Right.
It's Tuesday. No, man, today God wants to do something amazing
in my
life.
And I think, I'm pretty sure I'm skipping ahead, but I believe it's really a matter of believing.
Yeah.
That you have to have a conviction in your heart. You know what? That's what God says. So I believe that thing, and I'm not moving from it.
Right.
And that's how I think also with Hannah, because she's only seen us be people of our word.
Yeah.
So it's like, what you mean you're going to do something and you don't do it?
Right.
I've never had.
She doesn't understand.
She doesn't understand that.
Don't tell her,
right,
you know, you're going to do something.
Right.
Now, she ain't going to get upset.
No.
She's not going to say anything. You got
but
it.
But she's saying, if you said it, that but means you're going to do it.
You got it. And,
right.
And if us as her parents are able to do that, how much more is God able to do
that? Exactly.
Does that make sense? And so, but you got to be in expectation.
You got to be in expectation.
Expectation is breeding grounds for miracles.
Right.
What you expect, you will experience. Everybody say, what I expect.
What I expect.
I will experience.
I will experience.
Yeah, and we, from December, we're going to be, what, 28 years? 28 years, all right. 28 years married, all right.
Yes.
And so, you know, but from the very beginning, we expected to live an incredible life.
Right.
Like, we remember in the very beginning, we would put confessions together.
Yeah.
You know, confessions for our marriage and confessions of faith, you know, over our children that hadn't gotten there. And, you know, and though we had an expectation that this is the life that we were going to live. You know, back in the day, we said we eat the best, we wear the best, we live in the best, we drive the best. And that's whatever's best for you.
Yeah,
you understand
right,
what I'm
right.
saying? But years ago, we planned to live this life.
Right.
You got it?
Right.
I mean, you're going to live in your future, so you might as well plan the future you're going to live in.
Right.
And so it's kind of like we've always, even now, we're thankful for where we are.
Absolutely.
We're thankful for where the ministry is. Mm-hmm. We're thankful for what God is doing in the lives of everyone who's connected, but we're believing for greater.
For greater. Yeah.
Why? Because he's able to do exceeding abundantly and above all that we can. And me and you, because we learned faith at such a young age, we're just wired like that.
Yeah.
Like
we
just believe God.
Right.
Like we really don't believe there's anything too hard for God.
There's not, because it's like, why put limits on a limitless God?
Yeah.
So why put
that's
a cap
right
on something
there.
That, I mean, he's like, what? So don't stop him from being great, because that's who he is. So sometimes we don't experience all that he has because we don't release our faith to receive all that he has. So it's a matter of us just saying, you know what? I'm going for all.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how it's going to happen, but I know if I keep giving God my faith and I keep trying, I'm going to experience everything that God has for me.
That's good. Why put limits on a limitless God?
Yeah.
Right? He can do anything but fail.
Anything but
and
fail.
And it takes the same process of faith
right.
to believe for a piece of bread as it does a loaf of bread. So you might as well believe for the loaf. You got it? Might as well believe for the thing that, in other words, don't back up in your faith for the thing that you're believing for.
Right.
You got it?
Exactly.
You know, and listen, and stick to whatever it is that you're believing for.
Right, because some people like sourdough bread.
Right.
Some people like light bread.
Yeah.
Some people like wheat bread. Whatever type of bread you want, you know, you release your faith for it.
It's not about me doing what somebody else did or you doing what somebody else did.
Right.
It's about whatever is in your heart, you believe for that.
Exactly.
Does that make sense?
That's good. Yes.
Yeah. So, all right. So that was point number one. And we said that God has always been a God of miracles.
Right.
All right. Everybody say number two.
Number two. All right. Number two is faith creates expectation for miracles.
All right. Faith creates expectation. We kind of got into this.
We did.
But now we're really going to get into it a little bit more and break it down. So let's read Matthew, the ninth chapter. We're going to read verses 27 through 30.
All right, verse 27. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it.
Okay. And of course, lady read that exactly right. So let me tell you how I read the Bible. So let's start. No. I'm not. Why are you laughing?
No, go ahead. Oh,
so now let's read it again, but let's read it verse by verse.
Verse 27. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us.
The first thing I see is expectation and faith.
Yeah.
You got it. They had heard about Jesus, yeah. right? Jesus had been performing miracles and those kind of things. And so now they follow Jesus. Mm-hmm. They're crying out to Jesus. They're right. saying, have mercy. They have an expectation that yeah. he's able to do something for me that nobody else can
nobody
do.
Else can do.
And that's where you have to understand the rubber meets the road, that there's some things that God can do for you that nobody else can do
yeah.
for you.
Yeah.
So I don't lean on men. Thank God for people, what they
right.
do. But man, my trust is in Jesus.
Yeah.
My faith is in Jesus
yeah.
that you can't make it happen for me, but that's okay
yeah.
because he can make
that's
it happen
good.
For
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
You got it. So there was an expectation. All right, let's keep reading. Okay, like we said in the old church, in Church of God in Carter, read.
And when he had come into the house, the blind man came to him. And
man,
Jesus.
Some people don't even know what we're talking about. See, if you didn't come up in that, there were certain churches I'd go to, and the preacher, he would never read a scripture.
Right.
The first thing he said when he was going to get up is, I need a reader.
Yeah.
And don't get up and raise your hand and you don't know how to read.
Read cute.
Because back in those days, preachers would openly rebuke you.
Yeah.
And be like, no, get the mic to somebody else. You know, they'll give you a chance because
right.
you'll be like, and when Jesus departed, he'd be like, read. That means you're supposed to.
Come,
and when
give
Jesus
some more.
Departed. But if you said, he said, okay, stop, give the mic to somebody else. And now listen, we would never do that.
Never.
I'm not saying it's right. I'm
right.
just telling you our experiences, right.
right?
So then, you know, so it got to the point where, you know, don't even raise your hand. Don't do that unless you're going, listen, where are we at? What verse is that?
28.
And it was 20. Okay. Yeah. And when he was come into the house, that's like how they wanted you to
yeah.
do it.
So, and when he was coming to the house, the blind man came to him, and Jesus said unto him, to them, believe ye that I'm able to do this? They said unto him, yea, Lord.
Everybody say, yea, Lord.
Yea, Lord.
So what happens is Jesus puts the ball back in their court. You understand what I'm saying? Because he needed to know that belief took place
yeah.
because if belief doesn't take place, then there's no way
yeah.
that Jesus could do this for them
right.
because if you go keep reading verse 29, go ahead.
Then touched he their eyes saying, according to your faith, be it unto you.
And that's the key.
Yeah.
It is according to our faith,
right.
be it unto us.
Yeah.
And that's what we've got to understand. And the reason I love this scripture, according to my faith, be it unto
yeah.
me, because there's been times in my life that I was believing for some things that people around me thought that was too big
right.
and it was too much and those kind of things. But the wonderful thing I love is I had the revelation
yeah.
that it wasn't according to their faith.
Right.
It was according to my faith.
Right.
That if I could believe
right.
it became possible for me.
Right. Right.
Does that
right.
make sense?
Yeah.
yeah. The writer says in Matthew 9:23, not some things, but all things are possible to him that believes.
Right.
So possibilities for you and I are not defined by human logic or intellectual reasoning.
Yeah.
You got it. How people think or what people say. Possibilities for you and I are determined by how we can believe. If we can believe,
yeah.
it becomes possible for it. That is it.
Right.
Not if we can believe plus this. No, if I can believe God's word,
yeah.
that he is who he said he is.
He is.
That he can do what he says he can do. If
right.
I'll take this word and apply
right.
faith, then
yeah.
immediately
yeah.
it becomes possible for
That's
me.
That's good, because we have to believe. Again,
yeah.
it goes back to a moment ago when I said you have to have belief in your heart.
Yeah.
Because faith doesn't make God able.
Yeah.
You know, God is already able.
Mm-hmm.
It just puts us in position to receive what he's able to do.
That's good.
So we have to make sure that we keep ourselves, in faith. It doesn't matter what it looks like.
Yep.
Yeah, you could be blind, but guess what? It's not too hard for God.
Right.
You may be in a place of lack right now in the natural, but that doesn't matter. But if we have faith and we keep allowing the word of God to be take root in our hearts and begin believing what we've been saying, then we're going to see a manifestation of that in the natural.
And I think this is where Paul talks about the good fight of faith, all right? Because, you know, there's times in our lives we're in a fight. And if you know how to fight, I think you win a little quicker. You understand
yeah.
what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're in a fight, you have to watch what comes out of your mouth.
Right.
Right. You cannot, when I'm in a faith fight, I can't let anything, because the enemy will show up to try to put me in a pity party.
Oh, yeah.
Make me feel bad for myself, right? And if I start feeling bad for myself, even the enemy's happy because he says, yeah, I got him right where I want him, because he or she is not in faith right now because they're feeling sorry for themselves.
Right.
Because what we don't know is the enemy will try to, in a derogatory way, comfort you in his own way to get you to back up in faith, to have a pity party. Why me? And why is this happening? And it's not fair. And all those kind of things. But the enemy's only doing that because he knows he's keeping you out of faith. But the moment you make it up in your mind that the just live by faith. I'm not going to let anything come out of my mouth that's not like God. Even though you love me, I don't want you coming over here feeling sorry for me. Now, if you're going to come and comfort me in faith and speak the word of God, let's do that. You got it? And then I'm going to watch the words that I speak. Then I'm going to watch the company that I keep.
Exactly.
Because birds of a feather, you become like who you spend time with. If I'm in a fight, I don't have any time to be around anybody that's in doubt, that's in unbelief. You got it? And those kind of things. And then the next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to get into his presence. You got it? I'm going to do several things. I'm going to turn down my plate. I'm going to fast. I understand that I am in a fight. I remember years ago. Everybody say years ago.
Years ago.
I remember when, I don't know if you remember, something that happened to me. And my back had gotten messed up, and I couldn't raise my hands. And it was painful, and I was working the faith process, and I remember it was bothering me for 2 or 3 days. And you told me, babe, you need to go, to the doctor, the hospital, or whatever. And just so you know, I have no problem with doctors and hospitals. I believe in them. I go, I get my yearly physicals, and so I'm not one of those, and I'm not being mean when I say that, but I believe in, going to get checkups. And I think that you have the natural working together with the spirit.
Right?
Because what happens is if I go to the doctor and he says, hey, this level's a little bit low, okay, there's some things I can do in the natural, but then there's some things I can do through prayer as well. And I put those things together to accomplish the will of God for my life. So I wasn't not going to the doctor for that, but in my mind, it was just, I pulled something, right? But by the third day, if you pull something, on Monday, by Wednesday, Thursday, that thing should be
gone.
And so, and I told her, I said, yep, I'm in agreement. If it's not, and I'll go to the doctor. And so anyways, bottom line, I remember waking up and I remember, I still had it. And so I woke up, you were still sleeping. I walked into to our bathroom. And what I did was I worked my way up, and it was a little bit painful to lift my hands all the way high. Right. So I got them all the way high. Now to come back down and to go back up again, I couldn't go right back up. I was going to have to, because it was pain. But man, I got my hands up high. And I almost felt like Jacob, like, I'm not going to let go until you bless me. And so I raised my hands, right? And I began to pray in the spirit a little bit. I confessed the word. Father, I thank you. He was wounded for my transgression. He was bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. And I declare in the name of Jesus, by his stripes, I am healed. And then I just kept saying it. And then I made it up in my mind. I'm not taking, y'all, I know this is crazy, but I said, I'm not pulling my hands down until I get my healing, right? Babe, I lied to you not. I was getting tired. Because you could be praying and getting tired. Do you not know you can be in faith and get physically tired? That is why the spirit man has to be strong. Got it? And so, and all I was saying was, by his stripes, I'm healed. By his stripes, I'm healed. And it's like, I wasn't bringing my hands down, but I think just the weight of me being tired was trying to bring I push them right back up. Right. And I did that. And I must have kept my hands up for 7 to 10 minutes. Try keeping your hands up for two minutes.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, it was like the pain just left. It's like, and I'll be honest, I and there's nothing wrong if you do feel something. I didn't feel anything. Like, some people say, man, something came over. It was like nothing necessarily. I know God was with me. I know his presence was there, but it wasn't anything strong. But all of a sudden, the pain was just gone.
Yeah.
And I lift my hands down, I put my hands back up. I lift my hands back down. I was like, man, you know, but I had made up my mind.
Yeah.
You got it? That this is a fight that I'm in. Yeah. And I'm at the end of this fight. Right. I'm here to let the devil know I'm not fighting any longer. Right. I'm about to win this fight. It's done. And I got the victory because I made up my mind that healing belonged to me.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Amen. Give the Lord a big hand praise.
I want to read Hebrews 11 and 6 here. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
So the first thing we need to understand is that faith is the only way to please God.
Yeah.
It says without faith, it's impossible to please him.
Yeah.
So if you switch that around, with faith, it's possible to please
him.
Good. Right? So, but without faith, if I'm not in faith, I'm not pleased. Now, it doesn't mean God doesn't love me.
Right.
You got it. It doesn't mean that he didn't die for me. He didn't shed. So don't go so far with that.
Right.
But the only way I can please God in the earth realm is if I'm living by faith.
Right?
Mm-hmm. And so without faith, it's impossible to please him, because he that come to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him.
Mm-hmm.
So when I come to God, I must, number one, believe that he is what he is, who he says he is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That he's a healer.
Yeah.
That he's a restorer.
Yeah.
That he's a redeemer. You got it. I must believe, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him.
Yeah.
The thing that I put my faith out there for to seek him, mm-hmm. I believe he's going to reward me with the manifestation of my faith.
Yeah. So again, I think it goes back to the point you made about how when you're in faith, you're also in expectation.
Yeah.
So I was thinking as you were talking about, you know, especially all the moms in the house, when you have gotten the report that you're pregnant, right? They call you an expecting mom. So you start making things ready for that baby that's coming, because
it is 9 whole months away.
Because you're in expectation. Praise the Lord. But because you're in expectation, you start making ready for the baby that's to come.
Right.
I mean, you don't see the baby for, again, you're going through all
these. 9 months.
Nine months
is a long time.
And if you're pregnant in July, it's hot, you're tired, because I was pregnant through all the summer months.
She was cute, though, boy. She was cute.
I was hot, I was sweating, I was big, I was everything, hungry, tired. But anyways,
I'd make her Bojangles runs,
and just Smithfield
runs.
Just adding to all of it.
Hey, whatever she needed.
And that's why my children were 9 pounds. But anyways. But the whole time, but we're getting...
You was cute. You still cute now, girl.
Thank you, babe.
Ain't she cute?
I'm trying to make a point here, okay? I'm trying to be spiritual.
I know. I just figured I'd just take a moment
anyways,
to let you know how I feel about you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I love you.
Now, that's my girl.
My babe, man, you're just so good. So anyways, he bought me something this week. He did. I'll show y'all later.
Y'all want to know what I bought him? Okay, y'all, we live in Carolina Colors, okay? And so it's a golf neighborhood. And so a few years ago, ladies like, babe, we ought to get a golf cart. I'm like, babe, we don't play golf.
We don't, yeah.
I'm like, why do we need a golf cart? So we could ride around the neighborhood.
Right?
And then now, of course, that our great nephew's here, Genesis, she's like, and Genesis can come over and ride through the neighborhood, right? And so, you know, I was like, okay, so her birthday's coming up.
Yes.
And I'm like, what am I going to get her for her birthday, right? And I said, you know what? So I started doing research on golf carts and that thing. And then I woke up the other day and said, baby, we going to buy you a golf cart. So she got her a golf cart.
I did. And it's so cute. It has lights. I'll show y'all anyways. Okay, so, but okay, I was not making room for the golf cart, but now there's room for the golf cart, because, I mean, even though it was in the back of my mind, I didn't forget about it, but it's like, you know, if it happens, you know, it happens, because yeah. I know.
Well,
you know,
but see, that is under the category, and I'm glad you brought that up, that he gives us the desires of our heart.
Right.
You weren't.
Right.
You never got on me about it, babe.
It's like I made a request.
You said that a while back.
Yeah.
You know, and you would, you know, every once in a while play around about your golf cart, and I would laugh and those kind of things.
I just said something a couple weeks ago. I was like, oh, I want to get my golf cart, but just
throwing
it out there. But anyways, about to the pregnant woman, right? So, but she, when she is expecting, she knows, okay, after all this sweating and carrying this heavy load, I'm gonna have my child, because again, she's making ready along the way. So whenever it is that you're in faith for, you got to start making ready for what you are releasing your faith for. Because if not, it's like, are you really in faith for it? Because if you're not making, if you're trying to buy a house, go get you a box. You know what I mean? And put you some old stuff in that you want to take to the new house. Well, I'm getting ready for what I'm releasing my faith for. But if you don't start making ready for it, how can you be in faith to receive it?
Yeah, and oh man, that's good, because we're talking about faith creates expectation for miracles, right? And you got to understand the importance of getting ready. How, like, if I want to buy a house, there's several things I need to do.
Yeah.
You got it. I need to check my credit. I can't be scared to check it.
Right.
Because it is
what it is.
Right? So that's the first thing. And if it's not where it needs to be, no problem. I'm going to start working on that.
Yeah.
You got it? And then I'm going to start driving through neighborhoods.
Yeah.
I'm not going to wait till it's time to actually buy. I need to see, you know, where I want to live.
Where do I want to live?
You got it? And those kind of things. Because I believe that God can do anything but fail, right?
Yeah.
And so we start making adjustments and we start doing things, you know, to make sure that we stay in a state of expectation, you know, so that way we can see the miraculous in our lives.
Right, that's good.
All right, but Luke 1:37, what does it say, lady?
It says, for with God, nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment.
Yeah, and you know, many people, they believe God can do miracles, but sometimes they struggle to believe that God can do a miracle for them.
For them.
Or in their situation.
Yeah.
They'll see somebody else blessed and they'll praise God.
Yeah.
They'll see somebody else blessed and they'll go, you know, and praise God for them, you know, and that's good. And we should, because, you know, we rejoice with those who rejoice.
Right.
But you also have to know that there's some things that God wants to do for you.
Right.
There's some doors that God wants to open for you. There's some ways that God wants to make for you.
Yeah.
There's some miracles that God wants to do for you, but you have to expect. Okay. Everybody say, I have to expect. The blind men came expecting.
Yeah, they did.
Blind Bartimaeus, he cried out. What was he doing? He was expecting. Right. The woman with the issue of blood, she came expecting. Yeah. So you have to walk in daily expectation, believing that God wants to move in my situation, right? You know, and I think that to the degree that we stay in consistent faith, and that is why I tell you all, put it on your screensaver. You got it. Have an alarm that goes off 2 or 3 times a day, you know, for that. Why? It keeps you, you know, if you notice all year long, I keep reminding you that it is our year of manifested faith. I've done it different way. I've done it in ministry moments. I've done it when worship starts at the beginning, that little video of me comes up. You know, I'll tell you, it's our year of manifested faith. Joy is our strength and increase is our portion. And no matter what happens, we boldly declare, I believe God. And so I've done that on purpose to remind you to stay in faith so you can see it come to pass in your life.
Right.
We're almost halfway through the year.
Yeah.
You got it? We're almost. But look, that means God has another whole 6 months to make some miracles happen for you.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? And let me go a little bit further.
Yeah.
Okay. When God starts doing things, because we are so thankful and we have gratitude, which is a good thing, he'll do something for us and we'll stop right there. Mm. Not understanding that man, you are in this season of miracles.
Yeah.
You're in this season of manifested faith.
Yeah.
So God just doesn't want to do one thing for you.
That's
There's
good.
A lot of things that
that's
God
good.
Wants to do for you. So I know because of your heart, you're like, ooh, I just think, no, that's good, Lord. No. He says, I want to do more and more. That's what his word says.
Yeah.
But you got to be in faith for more and more.
That's good.
Does that make sense?
That's real good.
Okay. All right. Cool.
We got to go. Oh,
we
man.
Got, no, we got 2:17.
And we got a lot to do.
It's 10:08. we got to church at 9:00. We doing real good.
Okay.
It's 10:08. See how early it is?
I see.
Yeah. And you know, if you notice my ministry moment, I kind of flowed through that real nice because that give us time.
Okay.
All right. In the back, let's put up number one on the count of three. Strong voice. What is point number one? Here we go. 1, 2, 3.
God has always been a God of miracles.
All right. Number two. 1, 2, 3.
Faith creates expectation for miracles.
All right. And the last one. 1, 2, 3.
Miracles often require obedient action.
Now, we've already started talking about this.
We have.
That's the great thing about this. We've already, you know, miracles require obedient action. You've got to knock on the door and see what God will do,
That's
right?
Good.
To receive his healing, Naaman had to dip 7 times.
Mm.
For Jesus to turn water into wine, you got it, the servants had to go and fill pots, yeah. right? In order for Jesus to feed the 5,000, the little boy had to surrender the fish and the five loaves. Obedient action right. had to take place.
Right.
And because faith requires action. Yeah. Everybody say faith.
Faith
requires action.
Requires action.
So anytime I get in faith and start believing God for some things, the first thing I need to do is begin to listen for his wisdom and his instruction, because he's going to start telling me, okay, do this mm-hmm. and do that and do this over here, because then, here again, the natural working along with the spiritual, because God is not magical. He's sovereign.
Yeah, that's good.
You got it. So it's not like poof. No, everything about God is a process.
Yeah.
Things sometimes don't happen overnight, but they happen over time.
Yeah.
You got it. And so it's important to understand that faith requires action. You know, I got to say to the mountain.
Yeah, yeah.
You got it. I got to speak to the storm.
Right.
Right? So there's something that I have to do.
And I think we have to make sure, you know, sometimes God doesn't, a lot of times, God doesn't do things the way we think he should do them. And so we got to take our feelings out of it, because I could see Naaman right now. I could see me. You want me to go get in that muddy water? You
right.
know what I mean? But if I want to be healed, I'm going to get in the muddy water. Right?
Right.
And so I was thinking even about the widow who, how Elijah asked her to go and ask for the pots so she can get the oil. So, I mean, it could have been uncomfortable to go and ask her neighbors for something. You know, like you have to put your pride aside to go and start asking to borrow something.
Because that's what Jesus told her to do.
Yeah,
you
right.
understand?
Yeah.
So you, it doesn't matter. If Jesus told me to do it,
right.
I'm going to do
so
it.
So that's how the miracle was coming. But you got to take your feelings out of it and say, you know what, do I really want what God wants for me? Because if not, the action, it won't be there. And then you won't be able to receive the miracle that God wants to do. So you have to make sure that you're obedient, even though it may be something that's uncomfortable or may be out of the ordinary. But if you want the miracle, you're going to do what God wants you to do.
That's good. I mean, when God told us to come to New Bern years ago, you know, of course, we did everything the right way. We went and talked to our pastors. They immediately gave us their blessing. Matter of fact, I did not leave for a year after my pastor gave us the blessing. Now, I should have left earlier. You understand what I'm saying? But I was like, I just won't be all right.
Right.
You know, I was almost getting over in disobedience, you know?
Right.
And so, but we did it the right way. We didn't break up anybody's church.
Right.
You know, we didn't split, because see, God don't bless those kind of things.
Right.
You got it. Just the bottom line. He don't bless those kind of things. So we didn't do anything like that. And so then when we came to New Bern, I remember we were excited, one of our first drives to New Bern, and what we noticed when we got here, well, we were really excited. We were just believing God. God's going to do this, and he's going to do that. And when we got to New Bern, started driving up and down this little tiny city, we realized there was 2 and 3 churches on every street in New Bern.
Yeah, some were side by side.
Yeah. And then we both kind of, you know, got a little quiet, you know. I think we were just noticing, oh, man, you know. But that doesn't change what God told
said.
Us to do.
Right.
Does that make sense? And so the whole thing is, we never, during that trip, said, wow, there's a whole lot of churches. Why does God want us to come? No, we're not
right.
going to say anything
right.
out of our mouth that's not faith.
Right.
You got it? And so that, you know, because the whole thing, there's a vocabulary of silence, right? That after God has spoken and you've obeyed, don't say anything else, right? Jairus, go play something so we could go home, Court. So what happened, because I feel my teaching anointing. Let's just close this right down right here. So what happens is, what happens? Jairus comes to Jesus, says, hey, my daughter's sick. Jesus says, okay, no problem, let's go, you know? And so what happens is, they're on the way. Jesus gets interrupted, women with the issue of blood. He has to deal with that. He prays for her. You know, there's a lot of people. And all of a sudden, by the time Jesus is really ready to get down the road with Jairus, men come to him and say, trouble the master, talking about Jesus, no more.
Yeah.
They say, your daughter is dead. Immediately, Jesus says, shh, because he understood the power of words.
Yeah.
So he said, don't open your mouth and say anything wrong. He says, only believe. And sometimes in my life, there's some things I'm believing for, and I might get excited and I might get in faith, and that day or the next day I might say, ooh, that's not lining up, but that's not lining up. Don't let anything negative come out of your mouth.
Yeah.
Only believe God's word and what God wants to do in your life.
Yeah.
Because if you believe, not some things, but all things become possible for you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is not void of power, but it will accomplish those things that you set it out to do. And so, Father, I just, Lady LaConte and I, we just set our faith. If you're married and your husband or your wife is sitting next to you, just grab their hand. And so, Father, and we're praying for everybody. So why do you say do that, Pastor? It's a good teaching moment. Because we're all in agreement, but if there's a husband and a wife sitting together, that should be your greatest faith and prayer partner. And if that's not, that's a problem, but we'll talk about that later. But you gotta, okay, all right. Hey, and so I thank you for calming every storm in every relationship right now in the name of Jesus. And I thank you that the heart of that husband is turning toward that wife in a way that it has never turned before. I thank you that the heart of that wife is turning toward that husband in a way that it has never turned before. And I thank you that agreement is taking place at a level that has never taken place before in the name of Jesus. I bind the hand of the enemy and everything that's not like God that tries to attack these relationships. Satan, the Lord rebuke you at the authority of the name of Jesus. And I want to talk to my couples first, and then I'm going to pray for everybody just like I was about to. But I just feel strong in my heart. Just couples, get right whatever it is you need to get right. That's all I got for you. That's the word of the Lord. You know what it is that you need to get right. And if you two together will get it right, then your eyes have not seen and your ears have not heard. Because God wants to do some amazing things. Sometimes it's amazing. People don't believe Lady LaConte and I when we tell her we don't fight. They're like, oh, don't believe that, child. No, we don't fuss. We don't argue. Well, why? Because we made a choice years ago that that's not going to help us. And so we had to have discipline to do it. Because, of course, there was moments where she was upset with me or a moment when I was upset with her. But there was a discipline that I'm going to tame that tongue, that I'm going to watch my emotions. I'm going to keep them in check. I'm not going to get mad. I'm not going to storm out the house. I'm not going to walk around frowning. I'm not going to, you know, walk around silent all afternoon or all day or all night. Mm-mm. I'm not going to let the devil get a foothold in my relationship. And that is why to this day, anything Lady and I agree for, it happens. And I believe that everything flows from the head down. That grace and favor that's on Lady LaConte and I's life, it gets on every member of WLCC. Because there's power in connection. And so, Father, now I pray for every person in this room and online. You know them name by name and situation by situation. So it's with great confidence I know that you're meeting them at the point of their need. And Father, we set our faith with them for the things that they are believing for. We come in agreement and we will not come out of agreement. We will stay in faith with them until it shows up in their life. I bind the devil that would try to cause roadblocks to come. I bind the devil that would try to put negative thoughts in their mind to make them back up in faith. But I thank you that in the name of Jesus, they are moving full speed ahead in faith. And Father, the thing that they're believing for, it is coming to pass. I decree it. I declare it. It is so. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Give the Lord a big hand praise.